Guys, what's going on? I hope you guys are having a wonderful day. Welcome to DrBoyceTV.com, the home for intelligent black people. My name is Dr. Boyce Watkins, and I wanted to come in and talk to you guys today about things that are happening in the financial markets, as well as some interesting stuff going on with Tesla. Tesla is having some interesting issues right now. Their Cybertrucks are being recalled. Apparently, these suckers are not safe. They have a pedal issue where the pedal on the Cybertruck is just going down and not coming up. I mean, the accelerator, like you hit the accelerator and next thing you know, you are accelerating nonstop. And it's kind of a crazy thing. I'm also going to talk to you guys really quickly about what's going on in the financial markets, what's happening in the stocks right now. And if you stick around to the end of the video, I will let you guys know about an investment I'm making in the continent or country of India. I keep saying continent because it's so big, it feels like a continent. But actually, India is not a continent. It is a country. So anyway, before I get started, let me know if you can hear me. Give me a quick yes if you can hear me. Also, please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. And also a reminder, if you want a copy of my book, my best-selling book, The 10 Commandments of Black Economic Power, you can go to drboycebooks.com. That's drboycebooks.com. So let's get it cracking here. Okay, so with Tesla, apparently Tesla is recalling 3,878 Cybertrucks due to accelerator pedal problems. It has to do with a soap that was used in assembly that may have caused issues with the pedal, making the vehicle accelerate unintentionally, according to safety recall reports. Tesla's recalling 3,878 Cybertrucks to repair or replace faulty accelerator pedals. The voluntary recall, which Tesla submitted to the U.S. National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, comes after the Wall Street Journal reported this week that Cybertrucks had said Tesla The Cybertruck buyers had said Tesla pushed back scheduled delivery dates for the stainless steel pickup truck without giving a reason. The Cybertruck's accelerator pedal pad might dislodge and get trapped, causing the vehicle to accelerate unintentionally and increasing the risk of a crash. Now, let's start there. First of all, I'm going to ask y'all about this ugly-ass truck. Forgive me, Jesus, for just being honest. How many of y'all would drive one of these things? Would anybody give me a yes? You know, let me stop. Give me a yes or no. Would you spend money on a Cybertruck? I don't even know how much they cost. Let me see. What is the cost of a Cybertruck? How many of you would pay? Let's say it's $100,000. Okay, the base cost for 2024 used Cybertruck is 169,000 miles. Somebody's selling it for that much. The cheapest I see here is $157,995. Another used one is $209,990. So I'd like to ask you all, give me a yes or no. How many of y'all would spend nearly $250,000 on a big ugly ass truck? did I sound a little biased when I said that? I hope I didn't sound biased. I hope I didn't hurt Elon's feelings. But then again, Elon don't care about my feelings because I think Elon put up a post where he literally claimed, it was very sad, he claimed that black people have lower IQs than white people. I saw a post where he put that up and I said, dude, you know, you've lost a fan, buddy. I don't know if I can support this. This is nonsense, man. Like, why would you say something like that? So Elon is fair game. You know, don't get me wrong. I'm not going to disregard everything he does, but I am a guy who's going to sit here and say, well, if you're so smart, then why are your trucks not working? If you're so smart, why has your stock price been in the absolute garbage? If you've been following Tesla stock, there was a time maybe a few years ago where I listened to a lot of the Kathy Woods and the experts who said that Tesla stock was a good buy. There's not a lot of evidence for that right now. I'm actually going to share my screen and show you Tesla stock price. And it makes me think about that black man, the brother that I met a few years ago, who told me that he put 95% of his money into Tesla stock. And I tried to talk him out of it. I really did. And he did not seem interested in hearing what I had to say. And I will just tell you, I hate to have to do this, but this is a reason why you diversify, people. This is why you spread your money out. You don't put all your money in one place. If you look at Tesla stock, today is down just slightly, which isn't bad considering that they had the recall announcement today. So this, there's a little bit of bleeding, but not too much. You go back the last 5 days. Can y'all see that? Give me a yes if you can see that on your screen. You go back 5 days, Tesla stock drops 12.5%. You go back a month, Tesla stock drops 13.9.1%. You go back 6 months, Tesla stock drops 32.34%. You go back a year, Tesla stock has dropped 17.54%. So if you've been an investor in Tesla, you've pretty much been getting your butt kicked. You've been crying in your beer, crying in your soup, or crying in your Kool-Aid, or whatever it is that you drink or eat in the morning. And I can tell you that this really speaks to the reason that when you invest, I really want you to invest wisely. I want you to invest safely. I don't want you thinking that one stock is going to be your messiah. There is no one asset you can put all your money into that is guaranteed to give you the come up that you're looking for. Investing is not the lottery. A lot of people treat the investing like it's a stock market. You know, I see people, they say, we got a group, it's called Warrior Traders, man. We're trading options, man. We're gonna buy options, bro. And we're going to make money. We're going to double our money in a week, bro. That's what we're doing, bro. People that do that kind of stuff, they're really just taking gambling culture and bringing it into financial markets. Now, again, if that's your thing, if you are into the art of losing money or you want to risk it all, then, you know, I'm not here to stop you. I'm just here to tell you that that's not investing. Investing is consistency, buy and hold. It's a lean toward a little bit more conservatism. And right now, Tesla stock concerns me. I'm not a real big fan of Tesla, not just because the stock price has dropped. I mean, everybody has bad years. So I don't think a bad year is going to ruin a CEO. But I think that Elon has kind of pushed across certain boundaries that have really distracted from his core purpose. Even his own shareholders are starting to question him. I think this week he's asking them to ratify a $47 billion pay package that was the result of the deal he made when he first started Tesla. I think according to the contract, to be honest with you, they really owe him this money. So I don't have any problem with them paying him that money. But I do have a concern about the fact that I think he's screwing his shareholders. He's screwing his shareholders because he's spending a whole lot of time getting involved in stuff that ain't got nothing to do with making better Cybertrucks. He's spending a whole lot of time getting involved in a whole lot of stuff that doesn't involve building SpaceX. He's getting involved with a whole lot of things that don't have anything to do with him being a better CEO. He's just trying to be a social media personality that's out here just saying things that are a little bit crazy sometimes. And I think that he's gotten to the point where he's distracted from his core purpose. And I think that's what's going to keep him from reaching his fullest potential. But then again, maybe he's going to prove me wrong. I really hope he does. I don't have anything against this man. I do think that truck is ugly as hell. I ain't gonna lie. You know, it's just like when I was on the phone with Kanye West, I remember thinking those are some ugly shoes. And I don't know who the people are that will spend insane amounts of money on ugly shoes and ugly trucks. But whoever these people are, God bless them. All right. So anyway, do me a favor. Please hit the thumbs up button. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. Like I said, when we get done with this podcast, it'll be in a few minutes. I'll give you an investment I'm making in India that I believe will help you in terms of making money long term. The reason I'm interested in India is because I read a recent report that said that a shocking 50% of all Indian people are not even on the internet. Do you understand that that is a massive, massive opportunity? That's a major money-making opportunity, and I want you to be connected to that. So I'm going to give you the direct ticker symbol of something that you can buy shares of consistently, maybe for your kids or for yourself, that will help to improve your wealth. And also, if you want to get profit alerts on a regular basis, just pull out your phone, text the word stock, STOCK, to 87948. Text stock to 87948. I promise you I won't bother you unless I have something to tell you that's going to make you some money. My goal is to see Black people get rich. And if you're not Black, you're welcome to be here too. Just as long as you respect Black people and you support and love our people the way we love ourselves, and we have nothing against you. This is not an anti-white platform. This is just a pro-Black platform. Let me know if you know the difference. Let me know if that's okay. All right, so what else is kind of going on in the markets right now? This week, I'll tell you, it was a little bit of a volatile week. If you're in the Prime program and you are selling stock options for money, you're probably a little bit confused because earlier this week you had blood everywhere in your portfolio in terms of paper losses. Now everything's green. Everything's going up. Today, the S&P 500 is up by about 220 points. But it says here on the headline for CNBC that it's headed for its sixth straight loss, but it doesn't look like a loss right now. So it looks like this is a big reversal. Netflix actually went down, which is very surprising because Netflix showed up with, I think, it bragging about the fact that they had another 9 million subscribers or something. So the fact that Netflix stock had all these new subscribers and did not actually go up is very surprising to me. I got to see what the expectations were, but this stock went down by 8.5% today, which is just insane if you ask me, because because Netflix is a company that is dominating streaming. The best thing I can say about Netflix is most likely that Netflix is just overvalued. When a stock is overvalued, you can sometimes see it go down, even in the presence of what appears to be good news. So remember, just making money is not enough for a stock price to go up. You have to make more money than was expected. Third, we talked this morning in financial consciousness training about this war that's happening in the Middle East. You see that that Iran and Israel are going at it. And I can tell you that this is going to be a risk factor going forward. But the good thing about this counterattack, where Israel came back at Iran in response to Iran attacking Israel, which was in response to Israel killing one of Iran's top military commanders, which I don't understand any of that. I can say this. On one hand, the downside is that this could affect stock prices. This could also affect the price of gas. And of course, there's also that little thing about this possibly being the start to World War III, which is a real problem that goes beyond money. But the good side, the good news is that the response by Israel was not as devastating as it could have been. It's not as damaging. Like they blew up. I think they attacked an airport, but they could have went after an oil refinery or something, which would have, risked pushing the price of gas up to $4 or $5 a gallon. So I think that there's some economic consideration there. So there's some financial consciousness happening in the way these attacks and counterattacks are taking place, to the point where it's like, okay, I want to punch you, but I don't want to kill you, right? I want to hit you, but I don't want to destroy you, because this can actually affect all of us, which is an interesting thing. I think that the likelihood of wars have been significantly decreased because the world is more globally connected on an economic basis, and that's what it is. Now, LaTanya is mentioning, LaTanya, I love you so much, LaTanya Terman. I've seen your name in here before. Thank you for coming by. She says, the analyst raised Netflix target price to $700. I bought a call option. Yeah, well, Netflix is one of the GOATs in terms of streaming. They're one of the few. It's so crazy, because if you'd asked me 5 years ago if I thought that Netflix, because I was doing this 5 years ago, I was doing this 10 years ago, I was doing this 15 years ago. If you'd asked me years ago if I thought that Netflix was going to be the king of the streaming wars, I would have just said, you're out of your freaking mind. I would have said, no way, absolutely not. Disney's going to come in and just kick their butt, and not even write down their name when they do it. It's going to be no Vaseline. They're going to tear them up. And Disney walked away limping. Paramount's walking away limping. All these companies that came in and thought they were going to take Netflix's lunch money, it all got sent away with a nub. Like, Netflix just beat the hell out of all these companies, and now they're right back to where they were, right? You know that song, Right Back Where We Started From? I think that's how I said it wrong, though. We're going to get it right back to where we started from. That's the song I'm thinking about, right? That's what happened. They're right back where they started from. They're right back where they were in 2017. They were licensing content from Netflix, and now they're back to licensing content to Netflix. They're not doing what they thought they were going to do. They thought they were going to make their own stuff, distribute their own stuff, create their own streaming platform, and they're finding, similar to what Blockbuster found out, that the people running Netflix are just pretty damn smart. They're just not. I mean, they just have some sort of proprietary technology and an algorithm that's just absolutely gorgeous. And I just think it's amazing. So now I do know, I see Armando and some others are mentioning this fight between Tyson and the white boy, Jake Paul, which really all that is, that fight, first of all, the fight's a joke. The fight's an absolute joke. It's stupid. It's absolutely stupid. It's first of all, Mike Tyson is 100 years old. I think he's almost 60. And I know they keep circulating that viral video of him in the gym, moving and stuff, like he's 22 years old again. I think that was done years ago. I think that video is about 5 or 6 years old, first of all. But then second of all, It really is something where, first of all, do you think these guys are really going to be fighting? Like, do you think they're really going to be punching each other in a way where they're trying to actually win the fight? It's an exhibition fight. It's a joke. All it is a joke. And all that movie is, I call it a movie because that's what it is. Does anybody remember the movie The Great White Hype? How many of y'all remember the movie The Great White Hype with Damon Wayans? The Great White Hype, in case you don't know, it was a movie about a black boxer and a white boxer. And the black boxer was clearly superior to the white boxer. The black boxer was clearly the champion, and he had real skill. The white boxer did not have skill. The white boxer was just a guy they found on the street who had a little bit of charm and appeal. You know, the ladies thought he was attractive, and they said, okay, we got to just put this guy up here so that he can help us sell tickets. And so effectively what tends to occur in sports is that you have the great white hype. There's an image from the movie right there, and it's really funny. I have a special relationship with that movie because I saw that movie I saw it again. Maybe I watched it in 2006, 2007. And you're not going to believe this. I kid you not. You're not going to believe this. So after I watched this movie, I went to sleep. And you know how you dream about stuff that you saw on TV that day? So I went to sleep and I had a dream about Damon Wayans, and I was talking about Damon Wayans, and I remember Method Man was in that movie also. He was like a rapper in the movie that kind of came out when the boxer came out. And so the very next day, this is a true story, guys. I have no idea how this happened. This is one of the weirdest things that ever happened in my life. I got a call out of the blue from an ESPN show called Quite Frankly with Stephen A. Smith. Anybody remember that show? And so the Quite Frankly people called me, and I said, yeah. They said, we'd like you to come on the show and talk about your book, What If George Bush Wore a Black Man? And I said, sure, absolutely, because stuff like that's great. I mean, to be able to promote your product on a national platform is always an opportunity and an honor. And I said, who are going to be the other guests on the show? You won't guess who the other guests were? Method Man and Damon Wayans. Isn't that crazy? I don't think I've ever told that story publicly. But literally, after I had a dream about Damon Wayans and Method Man, I had just the day before watched The Great White Hype. The very next day, out of the blue, unsolicited, I'd never called them. They called me, Quite Frankly, with Stephen A. Smith, invited me on, and the other guests were Damon Wayans and Method Man. And it was a really interesting day. I'll never forget that because I met Damon. He asked me about my book. He asked for a copy, said he wanted to read it. Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. At that time, I had not met a lot of celebrities, so I was kind of frozen. I'm like, wow, that's Damon Wayans. How cool is that? And he asked me the question. I could barely answer it because I was just sitting here thinking, wow, this is Damon Wayans. And I said, yeah, you can have a copy of my book. I didn't think he was going to read it or anything or whatever. I gave him a copy. And I sat with him in the green room for a while. I wasn't impressed with that conversation. It wasn't a great conversation. Celebrities are hard to talk to. Some of them, unfortunately, to be honest with you, can be a little bit arrogant and a little bit aloof. Then later on, I sat with Method Man, though, for a good 45 minutes to an hour or whatever, when you're waiting for these shows to call you in. He was one of the coolest guys ever to talk to. I really enjoyed talking to Method Man. He was not just intelligent, but responsive. Like you, if you said something, he heard what you said, and everybody wants to be heard, you know? And here I was just a little college professor at Syracuse, so I wasn't nobody. And I'll never forget that. But I kid you not. So I actually went on. I don't know if that episode's anywhere online, but we had an interesting conversation where we actually talked about Tupac Shakur and stuff like that on the episode. If I can find it somewhere, I'll put it online so you guys can watch it. But anyway, long story short, when I see that fight between Tyson and Paul, which I do think is going to be a ratings boost for Netflix, you know what I also think about is I think about all the other examples where white versus black is a big moneymaker. America has an undiagnosed, untreated racial issue. And because of that undiagnosed, untreated racial issue, whenever something happens that shows the racial divide, anything that flares up old racial tensions, it's always going to make money. That's why Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark wasn't just one basketball player against another. It wasn't just one super talented a woman with a killer jump shot against another talented, beautiful woman from the South who just can dominate in the middle. No, this was Bird versus Magic. That's what that was. That's what Caitlin Clark versus Angel Reese was. And as a result of that, you had the highest rated women's basketball game in history. You had the women's national championship. They got more viewers than the men for the first time ever. And both of these women are millionaires now. Because of the obvious racial tension that pops up. So people that pick Tyson versus Paul, they know what they're doing. they know how much money gets made by getting all the black team on one side, all the white team on another side. And next thing you know, everybody's picking a side, right? Like, how many of y'all, seriously, how many of y'all think Tyson is gonna is better than Paul? Give me a yes if you think that, right? Most of y'all are black. Most of you like Tyson more than you like Paul. And if you're white, then maybe you like people similar to yourself. And this is what's interesting, too, is that some people think, oh, that's just racism, right? But I think that's human nature. I think human beings tend to connect to people that are similar to themselves. So that's why Caitlin Clark went to the WNBA and got a shoe deal faster than a lot of women who are much more accomplished. There are women in the WNBA who have won, who have been finals MVPs on multiple occasions, who won national championships, who have been, who won the scoring title, defensive player of the year. They can't get a shoe deal. Caitlin Clark got one out the gate. She got one out the gate. And some people say, well, that's racism. That's racism. No, it's not. It's not. I mean, yeah, it kind of is, but not in the way you think. It's not like they said, well, we want to give the shoe deal to her because she's white. They gave her the shoe deal because she's going to make the most money. Why? Well, because there are more white people in the total addressable market. The size of the addressable market makes a difference. That's why Yao Ming, the player from China, the guy that played against Shaq years ago, anybody remember Yao Ming? Yao Ming got into the All-Star game every year because when they held the vote for the All-Star team, half of China voted for him. That's a lot of people. That's a big addressable market. So really, I think that you should understand when it comes to economics, it ain't just about race or somebody decide, no, I'm going to pay the white boy more money than the black guy. I mean, that exists. That might happen like on a job. But when you talk about marketing, it's all about the Benjamins. And racial tension sells tickets. The OJ trial was the biggest, one of the biggest television events in human history. And it wasn't because of the horrible crime that allegedly occurred. That's not why the OJ trial generated more viewers than the Super Bowl and made billions of dollars. That's not why. The reason why was because it was a black man accused of killing a white woman. If that had been a black man and a black woman, none of that would have happened. If it had been two white people acting crazy, that wouldn't have happened. It wouldn't happen that way. It was because it was a black man against a white woman. And so the lynch mob mindset that exists in America, the same thing that we talk about every Wednesday night when we do Powernomics training, as we read Dr. Claude Anderson books, that mentality pops up and people get riled up and they're like, I don't know why I'm mad, but I'm just so mad. I want to kick the door down. Well, cause you want to kick the door down cause your granddaddy would have busted in the jail and took OJ's life before the trial even started. So you've got your granddaddy's blood flowing through you and the granddaddy's mindset. So that's why you're mad. Or you love Caitlin Clark because you're excited to see somebody that looks like you. I don't hold that against you. I like Angel Reese for the same reason. I like to see the black woman kick ass. You know, now with Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, I'm going to go ahead and be honest with you. I think it's kind of a circus, though. I really do. I think it's the Great White Hype Part 2. You know, Jake Paul, I'm sure he works extremely hard, but he's not a Mike Tyson. He should not even be in the ring with Mike. Mike should not be in the ring at 60, not in no real fight. The only thing that makes sense to me, and I think this will be a ratings blockbuster for Netflix. Netflix is getting involved in live sports. Live sports is one of the greatest streaming revenue drivers on the planet. That's why major platforms have been paying literally as much as, I think, something like $100 million just to broadcast one NFL game. I mean, just crazy stuff like that. I'm like, whoa. And well, it's because people just love live sports. What Netflix is doing that I think is interesting and perhaps brilliant is they're not really going so much for real sports. They're going for fake sports like this. You know, this ain't no real sport. This ain't no real boxing match. Shouldn't no man almost 60 be out there really taking real blows to the head? That's not appropriate. You know, you get messed up like that. And if Mike Tyson really hit Jake Paul as hard as he can hit a human being, Jake Paul would be all up in the hospital, all up in a coma, and possibly in the morgue. Mike Tyson, you know, at one point was the most ferocious puncher I've ever seen. I'm sure his punches still hurt. They're not going to be hitting each other for real. So if you want my 2 cents on this fight, who do I think is going to win? I don't care. Am I going to watch it? No, I'm not. I have Netflix already, so it wouldn't cost me a nickel to watch it. But I don't really like this for the same reasons that I don't like WWE. I don't like fake stuff. I'd rather see a real fight than a fake one. This is a fake fight. So anyway, that enough of that, guys. I didn't want to belabor onto these other issues, but I'd like to ask you, if you could, very quickly, please hit the thumbs up button, thumbs up, share, subscribe. Also, just a reminder, the All Black National Convention's happening in Chicago, October 25th to the 27th. It is the number one gathering on earth of intelligent Black people who believe in Black wealth and Black family and Black community. So if you believe in Black love, then this is the place for you. If you believe in Black people being mentally and physically healthy, this is the place for you. If you want to see Black people get rich, this is the place for you. We got people there that can get you rich. I have a PhD in finance. I'm a financial scientist, and we've broken down the science of Black wealth, and we know the answers. This is not a mystery for us. So feel free to join us. You can go to allblacknationalconvention.com. That's allblacknationalconvention.com. And also, I have a new book out. It's called The Ten Commandments of Black Economic Power. It's an Amazon bestseller. If you'd like to get a copy of my book, and also Dr. Claude Anderson, the original GOAT of Black economics, he's the modern Marcus Garvey. His books are also there as well. So if you go to drboycebooks.com, that's drboycebooks.com, you can get a copy. And also, if you'd like to join us, every single morning we do financial consciousness training. It's free for anybody that wants to join. If you'd like to join us, just pull out your phone, text the word morning to 87948. Text morning to 87948. Now, I promised you earlier, as you hit the thumbs up button, I promised you that I would give you a stock in India that I'm going to invest in that I believe is going to be profitable long term. And this stock is actually an ETF. It's the iShares MSCI India ETF. Write this ticker down in the chat for me if you can, because I'm going to say it like three times. But even when I say it five times, people will still come back and say, I did not hear it. So if someone could type it, I would appreciate it. The ticker symbol is INDA, INDA. So INDA is basically an ETF that will allow you to take advantage of the fact that all experts are pretty much saying that the Indian economy is going to blow up. They're pretty much saying this. Now, mind you, I sent you all a list of companies in Africa that you can invest in too. So don't think I'm blowing off Africa, because I already sent that list. If you haven't gotten it, just text the word stock to 87948. Text stock to 87948. I think you'll automatically get a list of the companies I like in Africa. You'll get a list of a bunch of companies I like in India in addition to this ETF. You'll get a list of AI stocks that I like. I'm all about seeing Black people get money. So I want to see, or even if you're not Black, again, if as long as you love Black people the way we do, then you're welcome too. But literally this particular ETF is positioned such that as the Indian economy grows, this ETF should be a beneficiary. It's expected to be. Now, again, this is not investing advice. All investing involves risk. Give me a yes if you understand that risk is involved and that this is not investing advice. I have to make sure we're clear about that. But if you want to know where I'm positioning money to take advantage of the growth of India, it would be that one particular ticker that I just gave you guys. Now, here's the thing. In addition to that, there are individual companies within India that are going to do better than others. A lot of the reason that there's so much growth expected in India is because half of all of India isn't even on the internet yet. Half of India is not on the internet. And that when I heard that fact, I kind of freaked out, because that's a big number of people. I mean, India, I don't know what they got, like 1.3 billion people or something. So the fact that half, imagine the U.S. Think about how much growth has occurred in the U.S. Go back 30 years ago or whatever to where half of Americans were not on the internet. Like, seriously, some of y'all were on the internet in the 90s. How many of y'all, give me a yes in the chat if you were doing anything on the internet in 1998. Let's go back 26 years ago. How many of you, give me a yes or no. Some of y'all may not be old enough, and if you're not, that's okay. But some of y'all are in the OG category. How many of you were on the internet in 1998? Give me a yes. Now answer a second question. How many of you were on the internet in 2007? Give me a yes if you were on the internet in 2007. So here's what I want you to imagine, right? I want you to imagine how much your world has changed. Let's imagine we go all the way back to the time where only half of all Americans are on the internet. I'm guessing we'd have to go back to about 99, maybe 2000, maybe 2001. Maybe. Think about how much growth has occurred in the economy since that time. Think about how many things you've discovered since that time. You discovered, first you start off with just email. If you're you know, over 40 something, you probably started with maybe just email. And then you discovered surfing the web. You learned what WWW meant and all this other stuff, how to go to websites. And then maybe you learn other little things like how to listen to music online, which was really amazing when we found out how to do that stuff. And then social media comes along, and then you're like, well, what is a Facebook? How do you use that? And then you find out that you love it, and next thing you know, you're talking to all your relatives on social media, and you're scrolling through Instagram all day, and you're watching YouTube videos, and then you go on to the other stuff. Maybe eventually you start an e-commerce business. You get a Shopify store, right, or a website, right, or at least even if you haven't done it, I bet most of you at some point have been like, you know, I'm thinking about starting me a website, but maybe you didn't do it, and it's okay. It's all right. Sometimes we procrastinate. But I'm still praying for you. And but still though, think about that evolution, right? So think about the fact that India has over 1 billion people in it. And half of those people have not even caught up to 1999. That's crazy to me. I can't even imagine that. So the amount of economic growth is insane. The amount of potential. 1.417 billion people live in India. 700 million of those people are not even online yet. They haven't even got to, you got mail. So basically, this is one of the reasons why, as you invest, I encourage you to have an international investing strategy. So if you want to start with India, again, pull out your phone, text the word stock to 87948. I will send you the list of India companies that I like later on today. I'm going to schedule for later so you have time to get on the text list. And hopefully that will help you. I hope I can add some value to your life by sharing that with you. All right. So anyway, guys, one other thing I want to mention, too, is that we do actually have a $5 a day investing plan. If you're just trying to get started, we have a free $5 a day investing plan that you could take a look at by going to blackwealthmasterplan.com. Black Wealth Master Plan is the number one master plan for how any Black family of any income level can be wealthy in less than a generation. It is the plan that I put together specifically for you. I designed it deliberately to make it so simple that a five-year-old could do it. It just takes a little bit of discipline and consistency and commitment. So the basic idea is that by investing small amounts of money, which I tell you exactly how to do it at blackwealthmasterplan.com, you can literally have $10,000 in liquid assets approximately in the next decade. Actually, I'm sorry, not $10,000, $21,000 approximately, give or take a few thousand because there's no way to predict the future. And then was $100,000 after 20 years, $250,000 after 30 years, $750,000 after 40 years. If you accelerate the investment, like if you invest, I talked to a single mom yesterday. We were getting ready for the Stock Options Summit. The Stock Options Summit is this weekend in Los Angeles. I wish I could invite you, but unfortunately, it's sold out. There's no tickets online. There's no tickets at the door. So I can't invite you. I'd love to invite all of you, but I can't. But I was talking to a mom, and she said she has a 4-year-old son. So here's what I told her. I said, okay, do you have a car note? She said, no, I don't have a car note. I paid my car off. I said, okay, are you going to get a car? She said, yeah, I'm going to get a new car. I said, how much would you be willing to pay on your car note for your child? And she said, I don't know, about maybe $600 or I said for your car. I'm sorry. I said for your car, right? I said, how much would you be willing to pay? She said, oh, about $600 a month. I said, yeah, well, that makes sense because the average used car note in America is about $500 and something, right? So I said, do you know that if you put the same amount of money into the S&P 500 that you're putting into your car, that by the time your son is 30 years old, your son could be very close to being a millionaire? And she said, really? I said, yeah. I said, really? So here's the deal. Look, if you, I said, the only question I got to ask you right now as a mom is, I said, do you love your son as much as you love your car? She said, oh, I love my son more than I love my car. You know, she almost got taken aback by the question. Like, how dare you ask that? I said, good. So since it's clear that you love your son more than you love your car, and she's a smart lady, so it wasn't like she got offended by the question. It was an easy question for her to answer. I said, so given that you love your son more than you love your car, then I would say that whatever you invest in your car invest that same amount in your son. And then what I did was I showed her, I pulled up my phone and I said, this is not, I said, I'm a finance professor. I can't go around just making stuff up. I said, so imagine if you gave your son, let's say $300,000 or $400,000, and he was able to go online and buy shares of a company like Coinbase, right? Pay attention now. I'm about to give you something that's more valuable than anything you ever learned in college. Coinbase stock is traded $217 a share. So I said, imagine if you bought your son 2,000 shares, or he bought himself 2,000 shares of Coinbase. 2,000 shares of Coinbase right now at the current price would cost $434,400. Sorry, actually, it's $600 now because the stock price has changed by the second. So he can afford that easily because you've invested for him. Your mama set him up. He's good, right? He ain't doing strugglenomics. He's not out here begging. He's not, you know, robbing people, taking penitentiary chances. He's not having to go to some job that he hates and stressing himself out and drinking himself to sleep to deal with the stress of the job that he hates. He's free because mama had a plan. Mama made a choice. Mama made a decision. So let's say he takes that money and he buys 2,000 shares of Coinbase stock. Some of y'all know where I'm going with this because some of y'all already know how we do this stuff over here in the Black Business School. So I said, do you know? And I pulled out my phone and showed her, because sometimes if you tell people stuff, they don't know it. They got to see it, right? I said, so right now on the market, I could sell call options on that Coinbase stock. The current price is 216. I could sell call options with a really conservative strike price of like 230 that expire next week. And I could sell those call options for $5.30 a piece. Give me a yes if you're following this. Let me know if you're still following the example. I want you to hear this because this is going to change your life if you've never heard this before. And if you've already heard it, I want you to hear it again until you actually decide to implement some of this stuff, because this is the secret. This is the key. This is the freedom train. This is how you get there. Okay. All right. So the call options that you could sell are $5.30 a piece. Your son has 2,000 shares that he can sell options on. So that means that the amount of money he would receive would be for that week, for 1 week, would be 2,000 times $5.30 a piece. So do you know how much money per week your son would have in income by doing exactly what I just showed you that literally a 7-year-old can do? And she said, how much? I said, oh, he would be making $10,000 a week. I said, do you know how much $10,000 a week is on an annual basis? She said, no. I said, that's $500,000 a year in income. $500,000 a year. Do you know that the average salary of a surgeon in the U.S. is roughly about $300,000 to $400,000 a year? The top earners in surgery earn $362 per year. And to be a surgeon, you have to go to college for 4 years. Then you got to go to medical school for 4 years. Then you have to do a year of your internship or whatever. Then you got to do 5 years of a residency. And then if you're a specialist, you got to do sometimes another 2 or 3 years. And then that's when the hard work begins. Then you start working for real. Then you're going to be doing 14-hour shifts, spending all this time at the hospital, so busy that you don't even have time to spend your money. Your family, your health, all these things that matter to you are going to fall apart because you're working so much. A lot of you that are medical doctors or understand this part of life that they never tell you about. I said, so literally by investing for your child now, you would give him a chance to have the income of a surgeon. And he doesn't even need a college degree. He doesn't even. So I said, for Black people, I think we've been lied to. I think that we've been given the wrong goal. I really do. I think that we're given these dreams about, you know, getting out of the hood and making it, how what it means to make it. You know, I overcame so much to make it. You know, I came from nothing and now I'm here. And it's like, okay, so what does that mean? Well, that means that you had a goal and you accomplished the goal. And if you're in that category, I congratulate you. So what are the goals that we tend to be given, right? The goals are like, for regular people, it's like, okay, get your college degree, which involves like lots of student loans, lots of work, lots of time. For some people, it's silly. Like, I'm going to go win the lottery. I'm going to go buy a bunch of lottery tickets until hopefully I win one. For other people, it might be just as silly as trying to win the lottery. Like, I'm going to spend 12 hours a day on the basketball court so I can make it to the NBA or whatever. I'm going to lift lots of weights and get brain damage so I can hopefully make it to the NFL. And then for a lot of us, it's just, I'm going to work hard for 30 years and save money. And then one day I'll be financially free. And what I'm saying is, I think we have the wrong goal. I really do. I think that the goal, or maybe, you know, or for other people, it might be, look, I'm going to get on Basketball Wives and marry me a rich husband, right? Or I'm going to do like Cardi B and I'm going to sell some booty in order to get money from people that come in this strip club, right? Whatever, right? People have their own, or if somebody else, it might be like, my dream is I want to become the best rapper in California so that I can get a record deal, so that I can get robbed by Clive Davis or something and get sent to Diddy parties where bad things are going to happen to me, right? We have all the wrong dreams. That's my point. We have the wrong dreams and the wrong goals. Even college, I'm a college professor. And even college might be the wrong dream. I said, you know what the American dream is for Black people when it comes to wealth? It's to build a capital base that will allow you to become an investor. Because once you have a capital base, that's better than a college degree. If the capital base is big enough, it's better than a college degree. It's better than a record deal. It's better than selling booty at the strip club. It's better than all these other stupid dreams that we get. A capital base, that's it. I mean, it's really, to me, this is so beautiful because it's like, oh my God, it's so simple. That's the one thing. If we do that one thing, the babies are good. They are set. And this is so powerful because this means they don't have to go to a terrible job if they don't want to. They don't have to do stupid things to get money. They don't have to sell their body and spend all their time trying to learn how to rap or play basketball and become a thug and just all this stupid stuff that's out here, these fake dreams. To me, this is the realest dream I've ever seen. And it's so straightforward. It's ridiculous. It's literally, in my view, I see this almost like a simple little yellow brick road, and it don't even curve. It's a straight road. It's just a long one, but it's very easy to walk down. And all that is as I was explaining to this mother, this single mother of a 4-year-old child, and she was listening. I think she was hypnotized by what I was talking about because she was so shocked by what I was saying. As I said, so all you do is you just got to make sure you never stop loving your son as much as you love your car, and you invest in the S&P 500 the same amount of money for your son that you're giving to the car dealer. You have to just invest in him as much as you're investing in the Mercedes dealership, and never sell those assets. And then you hand him the keys when he's about 25 to 30 years old. I think 30 is fine. Let him have fun. Let him struggle in life a little bit so he can gain some integrity, you know, get a work ethic. Right. I think that that's the problem. The only problem with this strategy is that if you keep people from having to go to work every day, some people lose their sense of purpose. That's the thing. Some people, if they sit at home and they got a bunch of money, they don't have to go to work. They turn to drugs and laying around and video games and all these other things that are non-beneficial. So they have to have a purpose. Right. So give him some time to get a purpose. Let him struggle a little bit so he can appreciate it when he gets it. But then you just set him up. And then guess what? So he's 30. He's got a few hundred thousand dollars. He's making the amount of money as a surgeon. He only goes to work if he feels like it. And he's now a husband and a father. That means he's now got a mentally and physically healthy lifestyle because he's not being yelled at and stressed out every day by a racist boss. He's able to spend time with his wife to make sure his family stays together. And he's able to spend time raising his children instead of handing them off to the daycares and the public school systems. He's actually able to be a force and a factor in the lives of his kids. And then he could take that generational wealth, build on top of it, and pass it down to his daughter. So his daughter's not out here selling only God knows what so she can pay the bills. So now do you understand why I call this the Black Wealth Master Plan? Let me know if you understand this, and let me know if it's okay if I get a little bit cocky with it. This is my whole PhD showing itself, because what I learned as a financial scientist is that the best ideas are the simple ones. I could use a lot of fancy language, a lot of equations that would make your head spin. I could talk about high level theories. I went through all of that. I studied all of that. They don't give PhDs away at The Ohio State University in finance very easily. It's very, very hard to get one. But after I went through all of that, I said, damn, this is so crazy that if everybody just did this one little thing, this would solve probably like 95% of our financial problems. So stop distracting yourself with the wrong dream. Pick the right one. Pick one that's going to work. Pick one that's really going to get you what you're looking for. Financial independence takes away a lot of stress. It takes away a lot of, you know, a lot of nonsense. You know, a lot of silliness where people are like, oh, if you kiss my butt and you come to the Diddy party, then I'll give you financial freedom. No, you're not. Clive Davis did not give Whitney Houston financial freedom. Clive Davis gave Whitney Houston an early death. That's what he gave her. So let's let go of the wrong dream and let's pick the right one. That's all I got to say. Thank you all for allowing me to share this. If I ever repeat myself, if I ever share a similar message in the future, I apologize in advance, but I'm a believer that repetition is the key for us to incorporate something into our culture, into our habits. I also believe this stuff to the core of my soul, and I just want to see you do well. I want to see you win. So anyway, blackwealthmasterplan.com, that plan is totally free. You can share it with anybody in your family, and I hope you'll take a look. I really believe, I know this will make a difference for you. All right, so I'm going to go, guys. And don't forget, the All Black National Convention is going to be held in Lombard, Illinois, which is right outside of Chicago at the Westin Hotel. Very nice, fancy experience. You'll get to feel all hoity-toity and important and everything. And the rooms are very inexpensive. We got them to reduce the price to $150 a night. And the tickets are probably not going to be on sale for very long. We're going to actually sell out for the convention. We're pretty close to that. So you may want to grab your passes earlier rather than later. And then also, if you want to take a look at the training that we do, where we talk about how to make money without working, the idea of selling stock options to generate income, feel free to go to drboyceprime.com. That URL is right there on the screen. Hit that thumbs up button before you go. Thumbs up, share, subscribe. I'm going to get out of here, guys. And also, don't forget, my podcast is on Spotify. If you ever just can't get enough and want to keep on going, just go to Spotify or Apple, look up my name. You'll find me there. And also, I'll see you all tomorrow morning as well. Actually, not tomorrow morning. Sorry, I got to skip tomorrow morning's financial consciousness training because of the Stock Options Summit. But I will pick it up back on Sunday. So if you'd like to get an invitation to that free class, just text the word morning to 87948. Text morning to 87948. Have a good day, everybody. God bless you. Love you. I'll see you soon. Peace.
Here we are, clan the isms, cataclysm, great. Our people out here struggling, trying to make it in this state. Everybody out here doing it, but we the ones who late. Now, family, we the ones who gotta delegate. Get that money in the power, never be fake. Stick to cosign for three. What did he say? Create jobs, support our own. Educate the same and buy back your home. Got 3 degrees, triple 10. 3 PhDs, now we on the CNN. DBTV, let's talk about negligence. Ignorance is bliss, but we can turn it to intelligence. Please, none of what you hear, half of what you see. Let's break it down here on Dr. Voice TV. Here we are.